right now on VFN TV, it's going to be an entire day of gratitude. What are you grateful for? And we're going to start in the White House press room and go all the way to the homeless on the street to find out, you know what? They're even grateful today on VFN TV.
Light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light.
Well, Donald Trump has expressed to the committee, the faith-based committee that he has expanded on, that by the time he leaves office, he wants to be remembered as the most praying president in history.
We invite all Americans to join us as we continue to pray for those who have lost family members and friends, and for those who are suffering from this great crisis. We're going to be signing a day of prayer.
Mr. President, I think it goes without saying that in a moment like this, we all come together as Americans. We all bow to Almighty God. We ask for His grace and His mercy over those who are affected. And most of all, Mr. President, we thank you for acknowledging that ultimately it is God who is the source of our unity as Americans, and I thank you for issuing this proclamation. Thank you.
It's been called the most evangelical cabinet in history. Men and women who don't mince words when it comes to where they stand on God and the Bible.
Has this been done before in a cabinet formally?
I don't think there's been a cabinet Bible study in America in at least 100 years.
The seat of evil is going to come down, and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. I mean, God wants to bring down the evildoer, but we have to begin to cry out and turn our hearts to Him.
You know, the last day's language of the Holy Spirit is dreams. He said, well, it was just a dream. What do you mean, just a dream? Who knows what angels had to fight through to break into your world? To give you their thoughts and you just say, it's just a dream. I think the church needs to stop saying, it's just a dream.
If the righteous many do not confront the wicked few, then evil will triumph.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I am Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Today is a day packed with gratitude. What are you grateful for? Do you know what? That if you begin your day thinking about what you're grateful for, your whole day will just shift. I mean, even God Himself says to enter His courts with thanksgiving, with gratitude, to be grateful for what He's doing. And God is doing some amazing things. Especially every American should be grateful, because we're the top 1% of the entire world in regards to wealth and blessings and those type of things. We have so much to be grateful for. Well, guess what? At the White House press conference that all is held by Sarah Huckabee Sanders, which is Governor Mike Huckabee's daughter. She's the press secretary for the White House. Bless her heart. She does a great job. It's amazing the job that she does. Well, she had a press conference, and she said specifically, today, all the journalists are all gathered to ask all these questions about what's going on. She said, before you can ask your questions, you have to share what you're grateful for. And it just changed my whole viewpoint of the press. Because the press began to talk about real life like we have real life. They began to talk about how they're grateful about their kids and their family. And it just shifted the whole room. As a matter of fact, let's go there to the White House press conference and we hear Sarah Huckabee Sanders as she begins to set the agenda for the press to be grateful. Check it out.
And this will be our last press briefing before the Thanksgiving holiday in this room. So I want to share a few things that I'm thankful for. And I think it would be nice for you guys to do so as well before asking your questions. Obviously, you probably know, and it's no secret, that I'm clearly very thankful for all of you here in the room. And I think that goes without saying. But in all seriousness, I'm very thankful for my family, my faith, particularly the thankful for the brave men and women of the military, many of whom are away from their families during the holidays, protecting the freedoms that all of us in this room and across this country enjoy. I'm thankful for the police, the firemen, and first responders who keep us safe here at home. And I'm certainly thankful for the incredible privilege of serving this president and the American people. So this is how it's going to work today, since I'm here and I get to call on you. If you want to ask a question, I think it's only fair, since I've shared what I'm thankful for, that you start off with what you're thankful for. So anybody want to be first on what they're thankful for? April, you've been so eager, so I'm going to go with you to start us off on what you're most thankful for.
I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for 20 years in this job. I'm thankful to be able to talk to you and question you every single day.
I feel the gratefulness there. Okay, so I'm going to move on to one of your colleagues. Francesca, go ahead.
Regularly as well, but I will follow your lead and be thankful for our service members. My brother's a service member, and our police. My dad is a police officer, so I'm very thankful for their service.
John Decker.
Thanks a lot, Sarah. I'm thankful for my health, my family, my faith. I think I live in the best country on the face of the earth.
Isn't this nice? And everybody happy.
I'm thankful, of course, that you address us every day here in the briefing room.
Blake.
Thank you, Sarah. I am thankful for my wife, who is pregnant with our soon-to-be
second
child.
Congratulations. Very exciting.
thankful for my family, my parents. Having
good
a
luck. Number two only gets a lot harder.
I know. Having a fee this week, I'm thankful that they sent me to the University of Michigan and not Ohio State. Go Blue. I'll get that out there.
Cecilia.
Thanks, Sarah. I am thankful for the First Amendment.
Oh, yes. We're thankful for that.
Jim.
First of all, I'm grateful for my daughter and my family and the fact that I went to the Ohio State University as opposed to Michigan.
We'll let that slide. Steve.
Yeah, Sarah, I'm thankful for surviving our 12 days in Asia in one piece. I'm happy to be back here.
Margaret.
Thank you. I'm thankful also for the First Amendment and for this exercise.
I think it's good for preparation for everybody for Thursday with your family, so that you guys will have already thought through what you're thankful for, so you'll be the most prepared. Exactly.
Sarah. Well, first, my gratitude. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to fill in for our chief, John Roberts, and I'm grateful to only have a month left. Gone in the oven, so it's my first. I've got a lot to learn.
John Gizzi.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm thankful for the position I have and the colleagues who are my friends. I'm thankful for my father, 96 years old and growing strong, and to my wife, my heroine. Thankful to her for saying yes on the fourth request. My question is about Zimbabwe.
That's the best pivot I've ever seen. Again, want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for participating in this very fun exercise. We'll be around today and tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
Isn't that amazing how gratitude shifted what tended to be a stressful, tense environment? I mean, it just changed. Doesn't change your heart about how good America is and how so many things have been spoken about the press, and you're finding out the press is just like us. You know, they have families, they have loved ones that are police officers in the service, and they're just concerned doing their job. And it's amazing to see that. And thank God for Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who set that pace. I want to ask you the question. I want you to share it with us. You know, go to our Facebook, go to our Twitter account, and begin to tell us or call us up. Tell us what you are grateful for today. Share with other people. As a matter of fact, it's a particular man that's talking to homeless people that don't even have a home on the streets, and he's talking to them. You're going to find out even their hearts are filled with gratitude. And look at this. They're even homeless, and they're talking about how grateful they are and the things that they're grateful are. So let's join them.
So many times when we talk about Thanksgiving, we picture the perfect family sitting around the perfect meal, but that's not everyone's reality. And what's really important is not perfection, but thankfulness. So I'm here with Darren, and we are downtown, and I'm curious, Darren, how long have you been homeless?
About 4 or 5 years.
I have been on the street for probably about 3 months now.
Okay, so this is really new for you then. So, Sylvester, how long have you been homeless or out on the streets, man?
Since July.
So what was it that led you to being homeless since July?
I lost my job.
Well, I was in drug addiction for years.
Well, I mean, I've spent a lot of time in prison. Okay. So that took away a lot of my life. But
was it drug related or?
Basically drug related, pretty much, yeah. So, you know, just.
How many years did you do?
All in all, in and out, 16.
Holy cow. What was your best Thanksgiving ever that you remember?
Oh, man. Thanksgiving?
Yeah. What's the best one?
Yeah, it was the year that my daughter was born.
Oh, wow. What's her name?
Jennifer.
Okay, how old is she now?
13.
Do you see her at all?
Yeah, every now and then, I do.
89, because that's like my last father's Thanksgiving.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you got to spend Thanksgiving with him.
Thanksgiving is, That's when my grandmother was living, and she would say, everybody come. No matter, like Big Mama's house.
Oh, yeah, okay.
My grandma was Big Mama.
Big Mama, okay.
You bringing you and the kids and everybody coming on, we're going to eat and have, we're going to fellowship with each other. And that was, I think that was what really taught me about Thanksgiving.
It's tough. Maybe you're not going to, do you think you'll see her at all this year?
Yeah, I'm going home this year to see her.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, man. So what are you thankful for this year?
That I get to see her.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And look at that smile, man. You have such crazy joy just emanating from you. You're the perfect person to ask, what are you thankful for?
I am thankful for my family and for my friends and that I do have a place to stay at in this ridiculous weather.
Just the friends I have when I come to these down here or under the bridge on Tuesday nights.
What are you thankful for, Clarence?
I'm thankful for my family and the Lord. You know, I have to learn to love the Lord.
Is there anything, Randy, you know, we're coming up into Thanksgiving and that time where, you know, Thanksgiving and what people are thankful for looks a little different to everybody. Is there something that you're thankful for?
Yeah, I'm thankful for waking up every day.
What am I thankful for? Mm-hmm. To be alive.
I thank the Lord for all the blessings there and the mercy and the grace that he gives us.
What's something, Jimmy, that this year you're thankful for?
I'm alive and well. Having, you know, even though the streets has been hard, it hadn't brought me down. I'm alive and still have hope.
What are you grateful for? I mean, this is a time for us to really, you know, a parent. I'm telling you, a parent. If you just talk to your parents and think about what they're doing for you and really think, you know, I'm grateful for how they're taking care of us and they're putting a roof over our head and they're allowing me to get an education and meals on the table, or, you know, your kids, you know, what your kids are doing in your life, what your spouse is doing, what your pastor is doing, what your the people that you're ministering to is doing. I mean, think about it. This is a time to just be grateful. And God responds to gratitude. You know, in Romans chapter 1, it says very specifically, the first phase that judgment started coming on a nation because they just weren't grateful. It wasn't that God wasn't providing anything. The people disconnected from where it was coming from. And so being grateful just releases even more blessings on our nation, on your family, in your life, in your ministry, in your church. And so it's time to just be grateful. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, we're going to go to the kid president. They call him the kid president. He's going to talk about 25 things that we can be grateful for. It's hilarious. It'll encourage you. Join us after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN-TV and the David Radio Program. Every single day we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store and or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. What are you grateful for? John, think about it. What are you grateful for?
Well, I have a lot to be grateful for. I'm grateful to the Lord, obviously.
Right.
I'm here and He saved me, and I need a lot of saving. But yeah. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my wife, my children. I'm grateful for America. Yeah. Grateful for life. And I'm grateful for the relationships that God's blessed me with. You know?
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, so that's.
Well, I'm grateful. I'm grateful too for the Lord calling my name and pulling me out of the miry clay and putting on my feet on the rock to stay, as the song goes. I'm grateful for the opportunity to come and speak to you, our audience. You know, every day across the world and across the country of America, the United States of America. I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for all of the crew. That yeah. makes us, you don't get the chance to see all the crew, but there's an awesome crew here in the studios, the VFN TV studios, where that brings this thing to pass.
Yes.
It's amazing what they do. Our gifts on this side, it's not on that side. We don't know how it works, but somehow they bring it fully to you. And we're grateful for them. You know, we're grateful for that we are located on the Gulf Coast.
That's right.
You know, all the way reaching the world, we got a chance to be located on the Gulf Coast of America, or Florida. And beautiful sandy beaches,
sugar white.
Believe it or not, it's like sugar on the beach out there. We don't get a chance to see it much, but I'm going to see it. Next year, I'm going to see the beach. And so I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my children, my grandchildren. You know, my grandson just gave me a gift. It was touching my heart, you know, for a special occasion. And I'm just grateful, totally grateful. So we got this kid president. It's called, I think it's called Pancakes. Something pancakes. Anyway, this is kid president, Soul Pancakes, and he does an excellent job. As a matter of fact, he was invited to the White House by the president, and he met him because he actually sits up like a president, and he talks on this video. But he's saying, you know, 25 things to be thankful for. Imagine if you were asked right now, 25 things that you are supposed to be or need to be thankful for. What are you thankful for? Because a lot of times we quickly think about what we're not thankful for.
That's right.
You know, a red light that's off, you know, yeah. A employee that's late, or a paycheck that hasn't come yet, or it can come up all kinds of things to yeah. complain about. But I found out the way to deal with the things that bother you is to focus on the things that bless you.
That's right.
And be grateful. And somehow, God just takes care of those things.
Yeah.
It's totally amazing.
It's amazing how a lot of people, you fall into a trap of adding all of your complaints and all the things you're not grateful for, like right. you're saying, on an adding machine, right. but you count God's blessing on your hands. Kind of should be the other way around. Right?
Oh, wow, that's good. So count your blessings. People count their problems on the adding machine and their right. blessings on their hand. They need to count their blessings on the adding. What's that? People don't know what adding machine.
Calculator
on your phone.
Right. But there's so much to be grateful for.
There's a lot to be grateful for. As a matter of fact, here he is. This is the kid president talking about 25 things to be grateful for.
So let's be real. Some days are hard. So I made this. list of awesome things I'm thankful for. Yeah. Sometimes I need reminding that things are not all that bad. So I wanted to share a few, because you guys are my friends. It's great to be alive. And here's some reminders why. First one, bubble wrap. When cats do their tongue, like this. I'm also thankful for the little paw pads that the cats and dogs have and the sound it makes. Paw pads. I love them. Hey, turn that back on. Oh, no. Change it. Ah, there, that's better. Music is magical. It can make anything better. Right music can make a video better. The same goes with life. Singing. I like paw pads. Singing. If something's boring, just sing it, and that will make it better. Watching paint dry. It's really cool. Old people who still hold hands. Clouds that look like stuff. One time I saw a cloud that looked like an airplane, and I realized it was an airplane. Imagination. Without it, we wouldn't have airplanes, no internet. Pants. We gotta wear them, because if we didn't, it'd be sort of awkward. Pants. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Sleep. Clothes with funny names, like Windbreaker. Birthday cake. No reason at all cake, just cake. Sorry, we filmed this while I was hungry. Forgiveness! I'm confessing that I ain't perfect. Ain't a word. We all mess up, come on. Don't mess up and forget to forgive all the mess ups. Thankful plants undergo photosynthesis, using the energy from the sun to convert carbon dioxide to oxygen, providing us with the air we need to do things like this. I'm bored. Morgan Freeman's voice. Hello, I'm Morgan Freeman. I'm working on it. My voice is changing, but it hasn't changed that much. Food. Taco. Burger. I know, I already said food, but this is my list and my rules. Happiness. Sadness. Sad isn't bad. It helps you know what you care about. People. Sometimes people can be really people-y, but we need each other. Life's better with people in it. Family. Friends. You. Just being alive. Sometimes we forget how it's just great to be alive. We're breathing. Some days are tough, but we got a lot to be thankful for. We just have to look for it sometimes. They say if you have food in your fridge, clothes on your back, and a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of the world. I did not know that. So what would you add to the list? Let me know. Share this video with someone you're really thankful for. Oh, and of course, also this. Dancing! Brad and I are thankful for all of you. Seriously, thanks for giving us and the whole world a reason to dance. So what are you thankful for? Let me know. KP out.
So this is awesome. You think about it, this is the season of Thanksgiving where we always talk about, you know, just being thankful and grateful. And I just challenge you, like, let's bring this attitude of gratitude into our new latitude in the next year so that you can be blessed. And I think about quite often, you know, when you see people that are downcast or they're focused on the problems, one way to encourage someone is to begin to, don't just say, hey, tell me something funny. No, tell me something grateful. But actually help them begin to see. You almost got to climb a ladder with them.
Yeah.
And get their head to just kind of gradually lift up. And it's all about a mind change.
Yeah.
You know?
You have to change the state of mind. If you're depressed, if you're sad, you're not going to be productive. You're not going to be fruitful that day.
Right.
You're going to be sad.
Right.
I've learned to say, what is good about this situation?
Right.
What is good? And before you know it, you're like, well, you know, I'm alive, I got my health, I got another chance, I've got hope.
Right.
But within 3 minutes of that, you've altered your state from a depression or sadness to a place of faith, a place of hope.
Yes.
And you say, God, you know, we can do this today. You know, we can do this.
What you think is one of the most important things about you.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are talking about physical challenges, but the biggest challenge most people have are mental challenges. Because what you believe about yourself, you know, what you think about yourself, some of people's biggest thugs coming against them is not somebody from the outside, it's their own thoughts coming in. Yeah. And begin to believe what God says about you.
That's right.
He loves you. He dances over you. He records the good things that you do. He forgives the things that you confess and put under the blood. I mean, he's grateful for you. You should be grateful. If God's grateful for you, and as much as that he would die for us, you know, while we still weren't doing anything good.
That's right.
that that he's grateful for us. He wants a relationship with you. I want to encourage you that if you haven't made that choice yet to join God's gratitude and going, you know what? You loved me so much that you gave your son to die for me, that if I believe in him, that I will be in the family of God. I'll be forgiven. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And we shared a couple things about what we're grateful for in Meet My Father. It's at meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org. And it's kind of our stories. And you can see why we're so grateful when you read our stories. Yeah. You know, you can tell everything. We tried to. There's a lot of words. But you can get the gist of it, that outside of God, we were, you know,
sad.
We weren't as bad as Pat was. He works, yeah. You know, but we were definitely, we had issues. We thought we had issues too. I'm just grateful that I'm not Pat. No, I'm messing. We're just messing around. He's a part of the crew here. So I just want to encourage you. When we get back from this break, you know, we have an offer I want to be able to just give to you for free, for a gift of any amount whatsoever, is that, you know, right now there's been this narrative across the world and across America. If there's a narrative going across the world, it's because America started it. And the narrative is belittling of Christianity, the belittling of the purpose of the Bible, you know, and is it really legitimate? That's why there's a Bible museum now in the middle of Washington, D.C., the Bible of the Museum. We're going to have a program coming up soon about that. I always got a chance to be there. And when you stop thinking about what really is, you can get really depressed. Mm-hmm. When you find out that the Word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword, that it's not just a book, it's a living, breathing Word of God, the most hated book, the most burned book, the most loved book, it's been the bestseller of all times.
That's right.
And the enemy's trying to create a narrative where, you know, it doesn't mean anything. And it does. As a matter of fact, we get back from the break, we're going to find out how much God's Word impacted, how much Christianity impacted America, women's rights, government, education, all these things. It's always been Christians that God touched their heart, and according to what was written in Scripture, to be able to do that in their culture, and it shifted everything. You're going to be so surprised. But first, I want to be able to send you this gift for your gift of any amount whatsoever. Here's the details.
Offer 2043, Life Beyond Your Storm. You will survive, but the boat will not. We are either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or headed into a storm, one man said. Is this you? It's hard for all of us to see beyond the storms of life when we are in them. These are the times all we have is our faith to hold on to. Because in a storm, quite often there seems like there is no hope. But with God, there is always hope. In this life, we will have storms, as Jesus said. But even though we know this to be true, in the eye of our life's storms, clarity quite often becomes an abstract idea. Learn how we can understand how God will keep us when we or others have made decisions that has brought us into a storm, how we can have peace in the storm, and how even though it wasn't God's plan for us to be in the storm, He can still use us in the storm, because the storms of your life don't disqualify you from ministry. They prepare you for ministry and increase your anointing. Finally, among many other great wisdom nuggets spoken about in this message, you'll learn even when your boat, such as relationships, jobs, ministries, houses, and other things do not survive, you will, and your anointing will increase. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. Become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV, 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2043, Life Beyond Your Storm. You will survive, but the boat will not.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Can public land be donated to a religious organization? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We teach the gospel to public school students through the Release Time Bible program.
Sure.
Our vision is to seek a camp to serve the community and these students, and we are talking with a borough council that is considering donating land to us, but there's a hang-up. They don't know if they can donate land to a religious organization.
There should be no difficulty there whatsoever. It's called an accommodation of religious practices. As long as the process is, and I'm sure it is with the borough or the township that you're involved in, that they've given other land to other organizations, the fact that it's a religious organization should not automatically disqualify it. You hang on the line here. We'll get you some help.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Brad is from Columbus, Ohio. By the way, Brad, I grew up in Circleville. Just go Route 23 south for about 25 miles, and there's the little town I grew up in. Hey, go Buckeyes. I'm an Ohio State boy. Brad is a lead and a founding pastor, and the word today is barrier. You see, I have discovered, and I know you have also, that many of the barriers we have in life are not imposed on us by other people or other situations. I have discovered that most of the time we sabotage our own selves. In fact, I have said that there are many times people, if they were the only person running the race, they still wouldn't win because somewhere along the race they would blow themselves up. Life is tough. It's not easy. There are a lot of barriers. But there's a great difference between the barriers that I place on myself, my own self-limiting barriers, things that I could take down by choice and by will, and the barriers that others have placed upon me. I would encourage you, be your best friend. Look at the barriers in your life and ask yourself, are they self-imposed or are they because of other situations? Those that are self-imposed, those are the barriers you should work on first. Begin to bring them down one at a time and run the good race.
Here we are, yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I am grateful for the church. I'm grateful for Christianity, you know,
yes,
which just means Christ followers, and that you know, you as a Christian, if you're a Christian, you're impacting the world. The greatest harvest the world's ever seen is coming in right now across the world. It might not be happening in your neighborhood, but the world is responding to Christ in a very powerful way. I really believe what's taking place in North Korea right now. We had there's two individuals that escaped from North Korea across the lines to South Korea, and that's a death wish. One of them, he was shot a couple times. But they dragged him in and took care of him. But he had parasites all over his body, in his blood.
It's parasites, because they actually use human feces for the agriculture, even though it births all these worms and all these. They don't have anything there.
And so many stories like that. And we had a program about what's really going on to the Christians. It used to be called the Eastern Jerusalem. I believe that's where it was called, the Eastern Jerusalem, But Jesus said, whatever you do to the least of these, you've done to me. And when people are being treated harshly and badly, you know, God hears their cries. And I'm really believing that. I'm grateful that the whole world is now paying attention and dealing with, you know, focusing on freeing the people from a tyrannical dictator that's their people are just suffering. The women are suffering, the men are suffering. But what happens is they push Christianity out of North Korea, and they suppress Christianity in North Korea. And if you become a Christian, the reports are they take you and four or five generations of your family and send you to a labor camp.
Evil.
Well, look what happens when you push Christianity out. Christianity has done some powerful things. As a matter of fact, Impact 360, the Barner Group, talked about it and put something together. Let's take a look at what Christianity has done for education. Education wasn't always like it is today. As a matter of fact, it's Christianity that began to change education as we know it. Take a look.
Jesus was a teacher and instructed his followers to teach. So Christians developed schools and later monasteries, laying the groundwork for modern education. Christians founded 106 of the first 108 universities in the U.S. Ideas like tax-supported public schools, kindergarten, grade levels, secondary schools, modern colleges and universities, education for the deaf and the blind, literacy for the masses, and universal education that reaches beyond class, gender, and ethnicity all have one thing in common. They are all products of Christianity.
That's so powerful when you're seeing, my goodness, if it wasn't for Christianity, how education has been impacted.
Amazing.
And you think about that, not only education, I mean, all spheres of culture has been impacted. Government, when you think about how government's set up, I don't think we have that for you for some reason, that particular one. But the way that government is thought, the freedom of people being free, you can only be free because of God and that kind of free representative government. Each man counts. But I want you to look at this, because women's rights, it wasn't until the suffrage movement in America that the women began to even get a place mm-hmm. in our culture. But it was Christianity that actually brought women into the place of life and having a say-so where they count individually. So for somebody to push out Christianity, it's like it was God that brought you to this place. As a matter of fact, let's go see what Christianity, what kind of impact it had on women in the world and in America.
The world that Jesus was born into considered women socially and intellectually inferior. They were not permitted the same rights, privileges, and freedoms that men enjoyed. And in Jewish culture, women were not permitted to speak in public, especially in the presence of a man, which also meant she couldn't testify in a court of law. But the way Jesus treated women was revolutionary. Not only did he stand against the anti-female culture of his day, he also set a new standard of kindness, compassion, and respect. As a result, the early church included women, honored women, supported widows, and gave women a freedom and dignity previously unknown in any culture. In India, where widows were burned on their husbands' funeral pyres, it was the Christians who were largely responsible for getting this practice banned. In China, young girls were intentionally crippled by binding their feet. Again, it was the influence of the Christians that led the Chinese government to outlaw this practice. It's no exaggeration to say the birth of Jesus was the turning point in the history of woman.
That's so powerful. You look at Jesus. We just look at from our perspective and we look at what Jesus is doing, but he was breaking all cultural barriers, and he was coming against the laws of the land when he's going like, leave her be, let her touch me. Who touched the hem of my garment? And it was illegal for her to actually come in her place that what was going on at that time. Right. And he didn't bother him a bit.
Mm-mm.
You know, when the lady shows up about her child needing healing, or when Mary comes in and anoints his feet with the alabaster box in front of all these men, well, those men were being critical in their mindsets because that was the culture of the time. But God doesn't have those mindsets towards women.
Well, look at the stark contrast of what's happening right now in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
In Saudi Arabia, women are now we're going to allow you to have a driver's license.
Yes, they just allowed women to drive. That's the breakthrough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And think about it.
Yeah.
In Christianity, every time the gospel goes into another nation, everybody gets freedom.
Well, of course, Saudi Arabia is Islamic.
Sure.
You know, and so the religion of Islam has produced oppression in its heaviest forms and what it says in those nations.
Which I don't understand why political figures in America would want to support, you know,
yes,
this type of mindset.
It's hard to say that
in other countries.
If you're for women, when you're for supporting women, but yet you go to that particular nation who oppresses women and who says you can't even be on an elevator
right
unless a man is with you, that your testimony is only worth like a fifth or something like that. You have to have four or five folks to get your testimony. And we see Jesus just walks right up in the midst of all those mindsets, and he says, what can I do for you? And just begin to, when you read the Word of God, I want you to begin to think about understanding how the culture was. That's how it was. But how God broke out on the scene, and he saw there's no male, nor female, nor slave, nor free. We're all the same. Which means there's some of you that are women that mindsets have held you back. We need your help, you know? And there's some men that have had those mindsets that you don't realize that you're one that could be helping you, you're oppressing the one that
That's
could be
right.
helping you.
That's right.
And God's called us to be free. And truly, freedom means that the person's free to leave you. And some people control because they're scared that somebody's going to leave them. Mm. And the reality is, when people are free and they don't leave you, then you know they love you. And God didn't leave us. He set us free. You know, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Whether you're male or female or slave or non-slave, you know, whatever you're getting paid in your paycheck. And so it's just so encouraging to realize, you know, and it's reportedly this is the year that God's really going to raise the woman Limit. Up in such a way to be able to be used like the man in a big way. And listen, we only have so many days left. Things are coming to a rapid, you know, shift. And all hands on deck.
We want everyone involved, right in the harvest.
When the harvest is going, nobody should be sitting on the porch. Yeah. Everybody needs to get busy in the harvest. When we get back from the break, we're actually going to even talk about what Christianity's done for government. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. UCLA, the largest of the 10 schools comprising the University of California system, all of which use the corporate seal authorized by their Board of Regents.
But did you know at the center of that seal is an open book with a streamer across the lower part that reads, "Let there be light," a reference found in Genesis chapter 1. New York's Columbia University's seal has numerous symbolic references to God and the Bible. One depicts a lady surrounded by young children with the words 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2 inscribed underneath. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word.
Yale, Harvard, and others have in their official seals references to and from the Bible, attesting to the influence of the Bible on America's major educational institutions.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We have people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about gratitude today.
Yes.
And one thing is about being grateful for Jesus Christ and for the Christians that followed him. When we begin to follow him, he empowered us through his word and his spirit to impact culture. I mean, look what Christianity's done for women's rights and for education. And we're going to be talking in the future in science and so many things, government. In just a moment, we'll be talking about that. But it's, you know, when you're looking at oppressive governments like North Korea, for example, or you're looking at Saudi Arabia that's going through a very oppression on the young people and on the whole culture, but definitely on the women. And throughout the Middle East, quite often, as a matter of fact, Israel is the hope.
The lone democracy in the Middle
East. The lone democracy. And you can just look at the contrast between the two. But that's because Judeo-Christian values, you know, principles, God. When God's involved, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He does not want you oppressed. You know, Americans sometimes feel oppression is because they have to go to work. But other countries are like, I would go to work for free if they would let me go to work.
Yeah. Well, look at China. Yeah. All these communist countries. Cuba.
Yes.
They try to get rid of the gospel because it allows people to be free and free thinkers and to be, you know, connected to God who wants them to flourish and prosper and do well.
I just heard Lance Wando talk about the president of China. He said this particular president, now Xi, right, is the as oppressive, has the, as many powers as Mao had.
Really?
There hasn't been any president of China that's had these kind of powers since Mao.
Little Red Book, Mao, you know.
Yeah, that's what's going on right now.
Wow.
And so he even talked specifically about how they're positioning themselves to take over the global economy, which lines up with the prophetic dream that we talked about, where Russia, China, and some other country, probably North Korea, they're working on shifting the economy, where all of a sudden that we would have to turn our money into their currency to buy oil.
Well, that would make sense, since they own a lot of America's debt.
Well, overnight, if that happened, if the world trade currency went from the dollar to the currency of China, that would actually put us in a third world stance instantly. Because we'd have to take like thousands of our dollars to be able to convert to their money to be able to buy oil for our car and that type of thing. That's why you see this big solar push. And nobody controls the sun, right? Hmm. And so it needs Christianity. This is what they said. This is what I was talking about. Why I brought that up is they began to persecute Christians there. They're still persecuting Christians there. They're tearing all the crosses off the churches. They're bulldozing over houses. China owns most of the property there. So, but yet it's the harvest of souls is powerful. People come into the Lord. I think the greatest part of our church is actually in
over
China.
Over 100 million Christians, yes, underground Christians.
There's like 32,000 a month getting saved, something like that. So it's a huge revival going on. The great persecution is happening at the same time. But that is a communist government.
Yeah.
Well, look what Christianity's done for government. When Christianity, why they're trying to snuff out Christianity in China, because it competes against their evil government, the evil government of communism and socialism. But the freedom, it comes with capitalism and it comes with Christianity. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Look, because you heard what's happening in China. You see that they're not even letting them have more than two children. It used to be one. They won't even allow you to have any more than that. One particular professor, the founder of one particular company people know about, that he got paid $10 a month to teach at the university. Basically, the currency is $10 a month. And so this is what Christianity does to governments. And that's why foreign dictators and all are scared of Christianity. Because
like Putin?
Because when the people get free, the country gets free too. Check it out.
The freedom and opportunity enjoyed in the U.S. and other democracies is built on ideas furnished by the Judeo-Christian worldview. The belief in free will opposes tyranny and leads to a representative government. The understanding that man is sinful underscores the need for checks and balances and three branches of government. The idea of being governed by the rule of law rather than the authority of man flows from the Ten Commandments. Other Christian concepts like the dignity of labor, the existence of moral absolutes, fair trials with witnesses, and the importance of civil liberty are also crucial to our form of government and so easily taken for granted.
Powerful. Is that not powerful? You think about that, and you're looking at the oppressive government of other countries, and that's why, you know, the Lord, you can change a nation by focusing like we do, like VFN Kingdom Business. It's all about, you know, impacting a society, discipling a nation by becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and going back into your mountain, whether it's government, whether it's science, whether it's education, whether it's family. We're talking about how in the future programs, how, you know, the Christianity impacted children. I mean, children were literally just there but not heard for years. And what people call child abuse today was standard practices, you know, back then. And if they let you live, they even had, you know, if you were, and this is happening in China today and other countries, if you have a daughter, they would actually let their daughter just die because the son would be the one that takes care of the family and guts up the lineage. And that's what they're doing in China. Because of the fact is that a son will actually take care of the family and keep the name going.
Keep the name.
And it's like women under a non-Christian government are hugely oppressed. And
you don't have to look any past Saudi Arabia to see that. I mean, we talked about it in our program.
Yeah, for that alone, you probably want to be able to say, you know, I want Christianity in my nation.
Yeah.
You know, I want the Lord to rule in my life. And when you start, it's real interesting too when I see people, like you're trying to give them a life preserver and they're drowning and they're pushing their life preserver away. When you push Christianity away, I mean, authentic, loving, kind, merciful, forgiving God, not religion, but just a loving God who wants to forgive you and bring you in a relationship with Him, that His thoughts are good towards you, He's not angry, that when the society begins to feed people a narrative that, you know, you don't push that raft away. It's like, but you're going to drown. You're
that's
the
right.
one drowning. You know, if it goes back to a tyrannical government, you know, America's an experiment.
Well, that's why these socialist governments are horrible, because it puts this government in the place of God. It keeps people dependent upon God.
Yeah.
And you look at what's happened with Venezuela, they're starving. They're starving. And now there's reports there's revival happening there and people are coming to the Lord. But that happened in Venezuela, it's happened in Cuba and other, you know, countries like this.
But, you know, what's happened to us recently is that somebody wrote to us, and maybe you're watching this right now from Venezuela. We are praying for you in Venezuela. We believe that God hears your cries and that God's going to restore your nation. We are believing that. And you're not alone. Don't be focusing on that. What's happening, thinking that's all that there is, because even our president's responding to the leaders who took over there that are oppressing you. I mean, they're talking about rape that's taking place, by robberies. They would go into stores and close the doors. This is socialism.
Yeah.
Closed, and it crashed, because it works at the beginning. It's great, because at first you're just living off of OPM, other people's money. And then when that runs out, then all of a sudden,
we're in trouble.
You got to work. And so they said that they go into the stores. They would close the doors and rob everybody in there. They come on a bus. This is what's happening. The whole nation's crumbling in on itself. And now only people with guns are the bad guys.
Wow.
When somebody wants you to give up the Second Amendment in America for socialism, that's what happens. The only people who have the guns are the ones that are oppressing you. And so they said they're coming on the buses and just at gunpoint saying, listen, I need a cup of coffee. And everybody in there has to cough up the change or the money, the dollars. If they don't, then they arrest them. They look on their phone. You can arrest them. If you talk bad about the government, they put you in jail for 20 years.
One man said, what I used to feed my dog for dinner is what I eat now.
Right.
Think about it. I mean, their food is so scarce.
Yeah, and so I want to encourage you, pray for Venezuela. The people of Venezuela are good. The government has oppressed them. Chavez died. You know, somebody else took over.
Maduro.
Yeah, worse. And it's just been, you know, when somebody says socialism, we need socialism in America, look at what happens every single time with socialism and communism. That's always what takes place. And what my concern with as China, when we're talking about China, is they know that the free enterprise that they've allowed to leak into their country is going to overtake them. So now they're oppressing the church, tearing down the steeples, trying to put the church in its place. But with 32,000 plus people getting saved a month, they're not going to be able to stop it. So what happens? They give the president now, right now, the current president, Xi, right, give him as much power as Mao had, reportedly. That's what Lance Waldner just said. And so, is he going to do what Mao did? And what Mao did, he killed millions and millions, reportedly, of his own people to be able to push in his form of government. Some people in America, they said that was actually their values, that they value Mao's words as one of their mentors, or not mentors, but one of the people.
I think we had a vice president, Al Gore, who said that allegedly this is one of his favorite books was a Little Red Book.
Crazy, is that not right? So Christianity, so you see how it impacts. As a matter of fact, they start talking about, you know, no tolerance. That are you tolerant or are you not tolerant? And they start telling people, you can tolerate anything but Christianity. Why? Because, we're not going to be able to get to that. Oh, make sure you join us in our future program, because we're going to talk about this. Because there's tolerance for everything but Christianity. Tolerance for everything but Christians and Jews. What does that really mean? Tolerance for everyone and everything other than God. And because tolerance means tolerance, right?
That's right.
And if you're asking me to tolerate you, then, and tolerance is the key word, the question is, well, if I tolerate your beliefs and I say, okay, you can believe whatever you want to believe, can I believe whatever I want to believe? No, you cannot believe.
Bring up Jesus. Anything but Jesus.
Jesus, America,
the Bible,
Israel, the our brothers, the Jews and Israel.
The Constitution,
the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, and there's zero, and it's interesting, the devil always tells on himself, because what he fears the most, he tries to project on you.
Yeah.
You know, and make you think, you know, and when you start hearing somebody tell you, quit talking about the word of God in this household, that's when you start talking about more, because they're finding out that that's impacting your household, impacting your business, impacting your community. So understand these oppressive governments, the key to it is us, who are Christians, who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, saying, God, here I am, send me. It's not going to change because of a new president. It's not going to change because of a new government. It's going to change because people carry the gospel in. And all of a sudden, there is actually one prophetic word over Kim
Clement.
Yeah, no, Kim, Kim Jong-un over North Korea.
Yes.
That he would give his life to the Lord and he would turn.
That is the prophetic word. There was a dream there.
Yeah, and that would be great if that's going to be an accurate prophetic word. And that would shift that whole country if that one leader gave his heart to the Lord. He's so young and he's being probably controlled by a lot of factors other than demonic factors.
The prophetic word that would be that he would come to such a place of repentance that he would apologize to the world for terrorizing and all the threat that he's been doing.
Lord, may that be. I want to close in prayer right here. We're so grateful. I want to encourage you to have an attitude of gratitude. Father God, we love you. We're so grateful for you and for Jesus. We're grateful for this opportunity to speak, Lord, to the audience that you've connected us with, Father God. And we're just grateful, Father God, for our freedom. We pray right now for the people of North Korea, Lord, the oppressed citizens of North Korea. God, we ask you for that nation. You said you would give us nations. God, we ask you for North Korea, Lord. Free those folks. You can send angels to begin to restructure that country, Father God. And you hear the cries of those in the gulags that are crying out just because they made a decision for you, Lord. We're agreeing and praying right now, Father God, for the persecuted church in North Korea, God. Free them, Lord. And we ask you across the world and in America, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name. God bless. Hey, by the way, we're grateful for you.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better. Be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Well, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.